Today with Joseph Prince.
Confess, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Every time you feel tired, every time you feel like there's a symptom trying to get on you, all right, just confess, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, amen? Because that's your given place in Christ. God put us in Christ, amen? When Christ became a sin offering on the cross, God put us in Christ, and our old man, our old sinful nature has all been crucified and done with, amen? So that when God raised Christ from the dead, the new you rose again, amen? Created in righteousness and true holiness, you rose with Christ. Greetings, church. Praise the Lord for all those wonderful testimonies that we've just heard. And what God has done for others, He wants to do for you as well. And one of the reasons we share our testimonies is because the Bible encourages us that this is the way we overcome the devil. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Every time you testify of Jesus to someone, you're actually sharing. In a way, you're sharing the gospel with them. And you can always come to the place where you talk about God's forgiveness of sins right at the end. But your life testimony, no one can argue with your life testimony. Remember that the one with the reason can never win over the one with the experience. Hallelujah. No one can reason away your experience because it happened to you. Just like the blind man in the Gospel of John, where Jesus, after Jesus healed him, the Pharisees summoned him on the carpet and they questioned him and all that. And they said that, well, give glory to God. You know, this man, Jesus, we know he's a sinner. And the blind man who was healed said this, whether he's a sinner or not, we don't know. One thing I do know, once I was blind, but now I see. So share your testimonies, amen, about what the Lord has done with many. And one of the best ways you can do it, because a platform that God has given us, is to share with us so that we can share with many. Or else we can also put it on our josephprince.com, where you see like multitudes and multitudes of people being healed, being touched, who have received a miracle from God. And just going through it, it's just a faith-building exercise. You know, just going through it, especially before you visit the doctor that day, all right, take some time, you know, to go through the testimonies in the area of healing and see what the Lord has done. Amen. That's the way we built up our faith, with a confident expectation of good for our future. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I want to continue right now on where we left off last week. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this from the NASB that brings out the Greek word no, which is actually absolutely nothing. And it leaves no exceptions. Amen. It is a no that is very emphatic. Therefore, there is now no condemnation at all for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. So the law of sin and death came in ever since Adam and Eve sinned. And we know that it's been operating. Every time you attend a funeral, you are seeing a culmination of the law of sin and death in the lives of the people that are around you at different various stages. And what God wants us to know is this, that God never desired for us to have a life of increasing weakness and then, you know, growing old and then dying, or even be subject to sickness and disease. That's not God's plan. God's dream for man, even the very first man, Adam and Eve, God wanted them to live in health, in perpetual youthfulness and strength, and just enjoying all the good things that God has for them. But alas, we know the story. By their own choice, by their own violation, they disobeyed God. And in a sense, when you disobey God, you're actually obeying the enemy, the devil. And all that the devil wants to bring in into the life of man, and the devil hates man because man is created in the image of God. And just like the devil cannot come against God directly, he come against God's image, man. He hates you, my friend. The devil hates you. God loves you. Amen. When you obey God, you're actually obeying the one who has your best interest at heart. You're obeying the one who's actually the one who said, I know my plans that I have for you, plans of good and not evil. Whereas the devil has nothing but destruction in front of you, but he will always entice you through the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, or the lust of other things coming in. And the devil will try to entice you into disobeying God. And then the result, the Bible says, sin brings forth death. But when Jesus died on the cross, he released another law. Hallelujah. For all believers, the Bible says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed us from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of the Spirit of life, just like the law here, in a sense, is not the Ten Commandments law or the laws of the courts, right? But it's the law of which and something is operating, a mode of operation. Like you said, the law of gravity. What goes up comes down because of the law of gravity. So likewise, spiritually, there's a law of the Spirit of life in the lives of every believer. That life is Zoe life. The life that Jesus gave us, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, that's the life that you and I have. And that life has a law in it. And that law frees us. Amen. In fact, the word there is a past tense. It frees you. It has freed you from the law of sin and death. As long as you stay at that place of the law of the Spirit of life, it frees you. It's really a given. It has freed you from the law of sin and death. And we see this happening. Sometimes we say, you know, we don't understand how this operates when we still see weakness in our lives and depression. All these are signs of death, which God never wanted this law to be released upon the earth. But it came in because of man's sin. It's like the law of trust and live has set the plane free from the law of gravity. Now, the law of gravity is still there, but every time the plane takes off, there's another law that transcends and frees the plane from the law of gravity. It transcends. It's called the law of trust and lift. Okay, and that law, as long as obeyed, a certain amount of trust, it will cause you to rise higher and higher, and you will transcend the law of gravity. So God puts in a greater law, a higher law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. That transcends, that frees you from the law of sin and death. Now, friend, that law is still there in the world. But God wants us to walk in the Spirit because it's the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to learn that today. Praise God. Hallelujah. But one of the things you can also do is always to confess the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. Every time you feel like a symptom coming up in your body or weakness or whatever, just confess the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. Don't forget, faith is speaking what you believe. Amen. Like David says in the Psalms, I believe and therefore I have spoken. And Paul quoted David in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where he says, just like David says, that we having the same spirit of faith, same spirit as what? David, right? He's quoting from the Psalms. We having the same spirit of faith, I believe and therefore I speak. We also believe and therefore speak. Amen. So that's the spirit of faith. Believe and speak. And because we are made in the image of God, God first speaks and then he sees. Today, man is so fallen that man is operating on the reverse side. They want to see and then they will say what they see, right? But God's way is always, you want to see good. God himself never saw good, right? The product of his words until he spoke. When he wanted light, he saw darkness actually, but God says, light be, and light was. And the light was good. God saw good after he spoke. So we having the same spirit of faith, we are made in the image of God. That's how faith operates. And Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith as David in the Psalms, and he's quoting David, I believe and therefore I speak. That's how we get saved. Amen. We say that by grace are you saved through faith. And how do we appropriate all that Christ has done for us? By faith. But how does faith operate? Romans 10 tells us, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is your Lord, and believe in your heart. Notice again, believe and speaking. That's how faith operates. And that's how you appropriate all the things of God, salvation. The next verse tells us, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's always the same thing. Heart and the mouth is always engaged in the process of faith. That's how you have faith. That's how you exercise faith. That's how you release faith in your life. Amen. So confess, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Every time you feel tired, every time you feel like there's a symptom trying to get on you, all right, just confess, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Because that's your given place in Christ, transcending the law of sin and death in the spirit of life. Amen. Praise God. So we must know that we are now in Christ Jesus and sphered in Christ, and God will never see you apart from Christ, because God sees your identity from now on, always and never outside, but always in Christ. And whatever happened to Christ has happened to you. When He died on the cross, God says you are crucified with Him, you died with Him, you were buried with Him. When God raised Him from the dead, you were raised with Him. And when God made Jesus to sit at His right hand, you sat down with Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And in that place, amen, in that sphere where you are in Christ Jesus and you are in Him forever, you're not there by your effort. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, it says, but of Him, in other words, it's of God's doing. It is of Him that you are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is all this to us, and it comes by us, amen, knowing that we are in Christ, and in that place, we are blessed with all blessings. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. It goes on to tell us that God has condemned sin in the flesh. When we were crucified with Christ, God condemned sin in the flesh. Notice singular, sin in the flesh. All our sins are forgiven. What we do are the sins, right? All the sins are forgiven through Christ's blood. But who we are, our old man, you know, we cannot but sin. We are so, you know, when Adam fell, the sinful nature was passed down through the generations. And every child is born in sin. Everyone is a sinner. Amen. So, but what happened is that God put us in Christ. Amen. When Christ became a sin offering on the cross, God put us in Christ, and our old man, our old sinful nature has all been crucified and done with. Amen. So that when God raised Christ from the dead, the new you rose again. Amen. Created in righteousness and true holiness. You rose with Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. But you need to know one thing. Even though your spirit is born again, your spirit is righteous in God's eyes, but your mind is playing catch up. Your mind is being constantly renewed. Amen. The Bible says in more than one place, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Another place, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the mind needs to be renewed to what has happened to us. Once you are safe, you are born again, praise the Lord. You still feel, sometimes you feel like the old man, you feel like you have all these spiritual battles going on in your emotional realm. You feel depression, you feel anger, you feel all these things as if you're not safe, you don't have as if you still have the old nature. But no, friend, you are born again. All these are in your emotional realm, your soulish realm. It is not in your spirit realm. The real you, you are a spirit. You live in a body. You are a spirit being because God made you in His image. Amen. God breathed into man. When God made Adam, his body from the dust of the ground. And that's why ashes to ashes, right? But his body came from the dust of the ground. But the real Adam, his spirit and soul was breathed into. It's like when God made Adam, the body was like a mannequin. All right? Lifeless. You're just standing there. And then God breathed into man. I like the Hebrew word there, vipa. The word there, vipa. It's like God breathed into man and man became a living soul and man has a spirit that came from God. And that's why men, whether they have their sins forgiven, whether they are born again or not, they will live forever. It's either hell or heaven. And that's why man cannot just cease from existence because he is a spirit. But then he has a soul, he has a mind, and he lives in a body. So right now, what you're saying is my body, this is the house I live in, but the real me is inside. When I look at you, the real you is inside. When man fell, you must understand, he died spiritually. When God told Adam, the day you partake of that tree, you will die. God actually said in Hebrew, dying, you shall die. In other words, he will die spiritually and then you shall, future tense, you shall die physically one day. So on the day Adam sinned, he died spiritually. What does that mean? That means he has no more consciousness and response to God the way God wants him to respond. He's cut off. He's dead spiritually. Or he's dead spiritually. And he only living by his mind or his body. And since then, men, either they have an overdeveloped brain or they have an overdeveloped body, right? Strong, like Pastor Lawrence, hallelujah. And but the thing is that God doesn't want us to be led either by our body or by our minds. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying throw away your mind, okay, ignore your body. No, on the contrary, God wants us to take care of these realms. But God wants the spirit man to be the leader, amen? To be the one to lead the soul. The soul is subject to the spirit. And that's why when God baptized us in the Holy Spirit, we start speaking in a language we don't understand. We pray in the spirit. And the mind is saying, what are you saying? Stop it. All right? Stop it. This is gibberish, you know. Stop it. I don't understand it. If I don't understand it, you must stop it. The mind always wants to dominate. The mind or the body. The body says, I want it. I want it. If I want it, I want to indulge in it. I feel it. I want to give in to it. If I'm hungry, I want to eat. I want to eat. I want to eat right now. Okay, and there are people who are led by their bodies. There are some who are led by their minds, by their emotions, which is soul. Okay, but God wants us to be led by our spirit. And that's called walking in the spirit. Amen. We're going to learn that today as much as we can. Praise the Lord. But if you drop down in Romans 8, right after the law of the spirit of life, it talks about God condemns sin in the flesh. We've covered that. And it tells us to put our mind on the spirit. Amen. Put your mind on the spirit. It tells you here, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Now, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Again, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Now, scholars will tell you this, that many a times they are also befuddled by a certain passage, whether it's referring to the Holy Spirit or the human spirit. Sometimes it's not referring to the Holy Spirit, it's referring to the human spirit. Amen. To set your mind on the flesh is your body, all right? And to set your mind on the spirit, therefore, is actually your spirit man. Okay, and your spirit man is born again, is recreated, created in righteousness and true holiness, the Bible tells us. And to set your mind in the spirit, of course, the Holy Spirit indwells your spirit. I think one of the reasons why in certain passages it's not clear whether it's the Holy Spirit or the human spirit, because God has made them one. Amen. He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Amen. So it doesn't matter whether you have to clarify whether it's the Holy Spirit there or the human spirit. Just know this, when you listen to your human spirit even, amen, you are listening to the Holy Spirit because He dwells there. He dwells there. Amen. He bears witness with the Spirit Himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. And that's how God speaks to you. That's how God leads you from within. And then God wants you to lead your mind. And the soul part, let me show you this illustration, okay? This chart here. Now, isn't it good for us to know ourselves, how God has made us? Now, notice, like I said, who you are is you are spirit. You're a spirit being living in a body. But you also have a soul. All right, say this after me right now. Say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Amen. This, your body is your house. So you have a soul. You are not a soul. You are a spirit. Amen. This is a real you. You are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Amen. So each part has its own functions that God has given, right? Of course, your body are the five senses. You have the sight, sound, smell, taste, touch. So those are your bodily functions, all right? In other words, anything that activates this is activating your body. So soul, the function of the soul is this: mind, emotion, will. So your emotions, whether you feel joy or you feel elation, you feel peaceful, or you feel depressed, you don't feel good and all that, it's just an emotion, all right? It's all in your soul. It's not true in your spirit, all right? Now, emotions can affect your body. And that's the thing that we're going to look at as well. But then look at the will. The will is actually in your soul. You decide in your soul, okay? So these are the functions of the soul. And what are the functions of the spirit? The spirit is communion, intuition, and conscience. Now, communion is communion with God. That's where you commune with God. You don't commune with God with your body, okay? You don't like, oh, I feel God. And it's true, sometimes you feel God. That's fine and good, but don't rely on it, amen? You commune with the Father in spirit. The Father seeketh such to worship Him. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. All right? So that's where you commune with God. And it's the most intimate communion. Amen? Even bodily, if you sense Him, what's going to happen when you don't sense Him? Bodily. The bodily sensations are no longer there. I know people cry sometimes in the tangible presence of God. And I'm not, you know, I want people to have experiences like this. And I've seen them. And I'm not knocking that, okay? But I don't want us to depend on those things. God says we walk by faith in the spirit realm and not by sight, okay? And then you cannot also contact God with your emotions. God, I want to feel you, Lord, in my emotions. So if I feel joy, I feel peace and all that, feelings of felicity, you know, I feel that you are near. No, don't depend on that because your feelings can go up and down, amen? But in your spirit, man, you have communion with God. Just realize it. And that's why the praying in tongues is actually praying in the spirit. Whereas praying with the understanding is praying with your soul, with your mind, your understanding. So the deepest part of communion with God is actually your spirit. That's one of the functions. And then intuition. Now, intuition, even though people are dead spiritually, but certain functions, you know, the word dead doesn't mean cessation of all the spirit functions. Even the people who are not saved, they still have a certain amount of communion. There are times they sense God, all right, in the communion. But it's in a state of, it's deaden. That's a better word to use. It's deaden. Like the Bible says, a widow, you know, talking about a certain widow, all right, certain widow that lives in sinful pleasure. She's dead while she lives. The prodigal son, when he was living in sin, the father says, right, my son was dead, but is now alive. So the same thing, we are cut off from God in the sense that, you know, but the functions are still there, you know, but they lie dormant. But when you're born again, they all come alive. Amen. Full. Amen. In full force. Praise the Lord. They are resurrected. Hallelujah. So there are people of the world even, they can sense in their intuition long before their mind understands something. So that's why it's important for us to know the intuition. Amen. And the Bible tells us that for those who are born again, those who are believers on Christ, there's a new covenant established with them in Christ. And it's that God will lead you from within. Amen. God will put His Spirit in you and lead you from within. And how does God do that? Intuition. Amen. If you're about to sign on a business deal and you're contemplating about it and there is an unrest inside. Deep down, there's an unrest. You can't explain it. You don't know why. Listen, stop, pause, and pray again. Amen. Before you rush into it. Amen. Don't rush. Listen to your spirit. Listen to what God is saying to you. Confirm with your, make sure your wife is on board. If your wife is safe, born again, she also has the Holy Spirit in her. Amen. And if both of you agree and there's rest and there's peace, a green light on the inside. All right, go on. But if there's restlessness in both of you, do not proceed. That's how God leads us. But your mind might be saying, this is a great deal. Hey, you know, this is a good deal. Come on, take it up. All right? But your mind is telling you, all this is good, but it's your mind. Amen? And that's why if you're led by what you see, by your body even, by what you hear people tell you, recommending you to invest in this. But deep down, when you're about to invest, you find that there is a restlessness. Obey that. You'll be so glad you did. Because your intuition is quicker, amen, than your mind and your body. Because it is in contact with the eternal spirit, God's spirit. And it knows things even before it happens. Praise God. So we must learn to live by our intuition. Amen. Parent by your intuition. Amen. Deal with your children by your intuition. Listen to what God tells you. Amen. We shall even eat. Amen. Eat by your intuition. Your body, your intuition says enough. Your intuition says, okay, today you can eat more. Right? Don't go even go by, I always eat less, okay? If your body telling you that, probably preparing you for some energy, depleting task, you know, ahead of you. But whatever it is, just follow the intuition on the inside. Until the more you practice that, just like with the muscles of the arm and all that, it becomes stronger and stronger, but spiritual strength. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. And now we see conscience. Conscience is the part where, actually, the word conscience in the Greek is the same as consciousness. Like the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of those things, can never with those same sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. Why? Because the worshippers once purged, once cleansed, should have no more conscience of sins. In other words, if all those sacrifices of the Old Testament, the burnt offering, the sin offering, they bring a lamb off as a sin offering, they bring a goat for a sin offering, and those goats die in their place and they are forgiven for a day or a week, you know. And it's how it's done. They offer daily, even the Bible tells us, as well as also yearly. All right, where they bring the bullock on the Day of Atonement. Bible says all this is temporal. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And God says that if those sacrifices had worked, the worshippers would have no more conscience of sins. Do you see that? But the word conscience is the word consciousness in the Greek. And that's why the translations like ESV and a New King James Version puts it as those who are once purified, once cleansed, should have no longer should have any consciousness of sins. So in other words, if my debt has been paid, I should not be conscious of my debt. My conscience should not have debt on it. I should not have a conscience that tells me, hey, you gotta pay, right? Especially you owe someone and all that. But if it's paid, if you do not know it's paid, you can still have debt on your conscience. So likewise, the sin debt has been paid at the cross, but we still have sin on our conscience. Why is that so? If Jesus did a perfect work, and the Bible says in the same chapter, Hebrews 10, it says by one sacrifice, as contrast with the previous verse, those priests stands daily ministering and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. Notice they stand daily. Daily offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But Jesus, one sacrifice for sins forever. But this man, having offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. The priests, every day, daily, they were standing, ministering, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices. This man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. That means what? It's good. It's good for eternity. It's once and for all the work. Amen. And he sat down. He sat down because his work is done. His work is finished. Praise God. He sat down. And so the Bible says, having purged our sins, He sat down. So if that is so, why are we having this consciousness of sins? Why are we sin conscious? Whenever we are sin conscious, consciousness of sin, it's actually saying that Jesus didn't do a good job. We are saying that God's word light. You keep on reading, it goes on later on, it says the Holy Spirit even, in verse 17, even the Holy Spirit witnessed to us, saying their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now this is a quotation, the last clause of the new covenant, amen, that God has established through His Son Christ with all of us, amen. The new covenant says the reason that all of it works, all right, I will, because I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with us, saying to us, hey, your sins are forgiven. God is not dealing with you based on your sins. God is dealing with you based on Christ. Amen. But yet we are so conscious of our sins. And Christianity today, for the most part, is preaching sin for the most part, instead of preaching the answer, amen, the Lord Jesus Christ, His finished work, the grace of God, the righteousness of God, which is a gift. Hallelujah. We're actually emphasizing on sin as if the debt has not been paid. So friend, if you look at the Bible carefully, you'll find that the Bible tells us very clearly that the gospel that Paul preached is a gospel that declares the righteousness of God as a gift. Very clear. Look at Romans 1, verse 16 here. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Gospel means good news. Right? It just simply means good news. For it is the power of God to salvation. What is the power of God to salvation? The gospel. The gospel of Christ is the power of God. The word power there is dunamis, where you get the word dynamite. Amen. It is the power of God to salvation. Salvation is soteria, and Strong's defines it like this: preservation, wholeness, prosperity, deliverance. Right? It covers all those areas: healing, prosperity, welfare, deliverance, preservation, wholeness. In fact, the verb form is used by Jesus more than once in the Gospels. Like the woman, the issue of blood, Jesus turned to her and said, your faith has healed you. The Greek word there is sozo, from soteria. He used the verb form. Your sins are forgiven you, right? As well as your faith has saved you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sozo. The big word, the noun, sozo is the verb. The noun is soteria. So God wants soteria to happen to you. But what is the power that releases it? The gospel. But what is the gospel then? We must make sure that we get the right gospel. In this gospel, the next verse says, in this gospel, in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Notice that in the gospel that Paul preached, Paul reveals the righteousness of God, which is a gift. Chapter 3, he talks about, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law has been revealed. Amen. A righteousness that comes by faith. Praise the Lord. On anyone that believes on Jesus, they receive that. Hallelujah. And Paul's sermons is not just forgiveness of sins. Many a times when people say, preach the gospel, or preaching the gospel means, this is the idea that most Christians have, preaching the gospel means telling them that Jesus died for their sins and they can be forgiven. They can receive forgiveness of sins. But it's more than just forgiveness of sins. It is justification. Now, that's a theological word there, but actually the word justification is the word righteousness, and righteous by faith. God justifies His people by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, for a long time, I used to read the just shall live by faith. And the idea, I wonder if you have the same impression as me. The idea is that the just we know is the righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. In other words, they will trust God for their finances and their supply, especially those who are, full-time ministry for the Lord. They are living by faith. You know, the just shall live by faith. But actually, that's not the emphasis in the Greek. The Greek structure actually says the righteous by faith shall live. Those who are righteous by faith, they will live. I like the NET, New English Translation. It brings it out. It says the righteous by faith will live. Notice who will live? Who will live and not die? the righteous by faith. Amen. They'll have an abundance of life. Now, if you are sick and you believe that you are righteous by faith because of your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you have received the gift of righteousness, and you confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, guess what's going to happen to the death, to the sickness? You will live. If you live, that thing dies. Hallelujah. Amen. The righteous by faith shall live. I even like the Revised Standard Version better. It says, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Notice, it's a far cry from saying the righteous will live by faith. It's actually he who through faith is righteous shall live. Amen. If you believe you are the righteousness of God in Christ, and we've been encouraging people to confess that, because why? That's how faith operates. Amen. You confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And what happens after that? The Bible tells us the first time you confess that, amen, you are safe. You confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. You believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Amen. Praise God. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Hey, praise the Lord. So now you and I, we have put our trust in Christ. Amen. We are born again. We are born righteous. Amen. We are born righteous. Just like when we were born sinners, we're all born sinners. But sometimes even as a sinner, we still do good things, nice things, but those things don't change our status as a sinner. We were born sinners, right? So likewise today, we are born again, born righteous. Amen. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And now that you're born righteous, there are times you might fall into sin. You might do something amiss and all that. And you don't like it. We're not encouraging you to continue in it. Okay, definitely not. Okay, but those things don't change your status. You are still righteous in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord. Now, if you believe that, the Bible says, then the power of God is released, if you believe that. But notice that this gospel that Paul preached has the righteousness of God being revealed. Not just forgiveness of sins, but the righteousness of God. You know, forgiveness of sins is great. Amen. God remove. But you know, if you're just forgiven of all your sins and you're still the same person, but you're no longer the same person, God has put you in Christ and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Confess that. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. For he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus, to be sin for us, where? At the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So now you are the righteousness of God, but you need to confess it. Amen? You need to confess it. In fact, prophet Isaiah saw you and I. He saw the future and he saw a generation of people that will confess that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Look at Isaiah 45. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Now, even to him shall man come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord, where? In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, made righteous, and shall glory. So once again, surely shall one say, in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. In fact, the Apostle Paul quoted this in Philippians when he says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. He's actually drawing from here. Confessing Jesus as Lord is to confess that you have righteousness in him and only in him. Hallelujah. Are you with me so far? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Bible says when you establish in righteousness, God wants you to be established, not just know it in your head. Oh, Pastor, I've heard this so many times and you've preached on it so many times, but Pastor, you know what? You know, I know it enough already. And I don't think I need to be told again that I'm the... No, you need to be told until you are established in it. Amen. The word established in the Hebrew is kun. It's to be fixed. It's really to be rooted in it. Grounded. Established. Unmovable. Amen. And it says here in Isaiah 54, and Isaiah 54 comes after the work of Jesus in Isaiah 53, right? And the result is you are established in righteousness. And what happens? You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Remember, oppression includes sickness. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Look at the verse before that. It tells you, all your children shall be taught by the Lord. He will teach them directly. And great shall be the shalom of your children. Shalom here includes their, not just peace of mind, but their health, their wholeness, their well-being. It will be great, not just they'll have it, but it will be great shalom. Amen, for your children. In righteousness you shall be established. Indeed, they, your enemies, your opponents, they shall surely assemble, God says, but not because of me. In other words, if people assemble against you, they collectively come together against you, it is not me who is directing them. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Look at the last verse of this chapter. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. You know, when Isaiah said all this, we don't have computers and we don't have the social media and all that. But you know what? It's all covered in this word formed. No weapon formed. Whatever weapon, if people are attacking you on social media, people are attacking you in other modern ways and all that, or even weapons, right? Modern weapons, God's promise is no weapon formed. God didn't just say the weapon of the present time. He says no weapon that's formed in the future even, right? No weapon, whatever weapon is, that's formed. No weapon that's formed shall prosper against you. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Like I said, the Apostle Paul, in his sermon, if you look at it in the book of Acts, you know, it'd be great for us to have a sermon CD by the Apostle Paul, don't you think so? I would definitely grab it. Right? But you know what? We actually have the recording of Paul preaching the gospel in the book of Acts. Here in Pisidia, Antioch, Acts 13, you have the entire discourse of Paul penned down, amen, through Luke. By the Holy Spirit, he was there and he penned down what Paul preached, amen. Are we having the same gospel as Paul today? Paul, at the end of that, the whole sermon, he talks about the history of Israel in the synagogue in Antioch, Pisidia. And Pastor Mark and I have been there with our families many years ago. We were there on the location where the synagogue was. And in that synagogue, Paul preached to them and he came to this conclusion. He says, therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Now, is that all the gospel is? No. Look at what he says. And by him, everyone who believes is justified or made righteous from all things from which you cannot be justified or declared righteous by the law of Moses. In fact, the Youngs bring this out from the Greek. And from all things from which you were not able in the law of Moses to be declared righteous, in this one, Jesus, everyone who is believing is declared righteous. Hallelujah. So the gospel Paul preached, amen, we have a sample of it preserved for us so that we can compare with the gospel we preach today. You know, we have a partial gospel and we think we have the full gospel. You know, we preach forgiveness of sins, but we don't preach the gift of righteousness. And we don't tell people to really use that gift of righteousness. Amen. Savor it. If God gives you a gift, how can we just treat it lightly? Amen? It's the greatest gift of all. It's the blessing of Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. Hallelujah. So we have a sample here. The Apostle Paul actually preached not only forgiveness of sins, but also being declared righteous or justification by faith. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, let's go back to Romans 8, verse 8. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Somebody say, well, Pastor Prince, there are believers who are in the flesh. Well, my friend, the Bible says, you are not in the flesh. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. You here being the believer, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Do you see that? Do you see that? You are not in the flesh, you are in the spirit. And what are you in the spirit? The righteousness of God. You are righteous. In fact, in Ephesians, it says you are created, the spirit man, the new man is created in righteousness and true holiness. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. We are righteous in His sight, not by our works, but by His blood. Amen. By faith. Hallelujah. In what Christ has done. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Doesn't that thrill you? I want to read to you a testimony. I trust it's going to bless you. And this is a lady from Texas, and she shares this. Pastor Prince, I first heard about your ministry some years ago when I was locked up in prison. My mother shared with me about your teachings on the gospel of grace and God's love for me. I would love to tell you that when I got released from prison, I ran back to God and started living right, but I did no such thing. Drugs and alcohol had such a hold on my life that it seemed as though I would die with a needle in my arm or a bottle in my hand or both. After many bad decisions, I was at a place where I had reached rock bottom. I had failed at being a wife, mother, daughter, friend, and person. I was completely lost and broken. One day, I remembered your sermons and began to watch them daily. They filled me with the hope and knowledge that Jesus loves me and died for my sins so that I can be brought into His family. I realized that God was not angry with me and loves me more than I can imagine. Today, I have been free from heroin for 2 years and alcohol for over a year. I have seen my life change dramatically just by trusting in God and being conscious of His love for me instead of being conscious of my sins. The Lord is continually changing me from the inside out and helping me grow. My relationship with my parents and son have been restored in full. I also have a wonderful godly man in my life who prays for me and watches your sermons together with me. We plan on getting married and buying a house soon. I'm also planning to go back to school to become a paralegal and help others who are as lost as I was. Thank you, Pastor Prince, for your ministry. I still listen to your messages daily. To God be all the glory, people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's go back to Romans chapter 8. In verse 10, it says, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." Okay, the body is dead because of sin. Do we agree on that? Every time you experience depression, you're experiencing death in your soul. That's a manifestation of death. Death manifests as depression. In your body, death can manifest as sickness, disease, constant fatigue. All right, these are signs of weakness and death. Okay, friend, do not be worried. In fact, for the child of God, even though the body is dead because of sin, we still have the old body. When Jesus comes again, we're going to have a brand new body, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's going to transform our body like to His body. But until then, we have this body. And the Bible says, even though Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. The spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, that righteousness is not something that you do. It is who you are. Amen? You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. So your spirit is life because of righteousness. So the thing is this, if only I can get that life in my spirit to touch my mind and then to flow into my body, how is that possible? The very next verse tells you, but if the spirit of Him. So although your body is dead because of sin and your spirit is life because of righteousness, but if the spirit, this is the Holy Spirit here, if the spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His spirit who dwells in you. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? The Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, He indwells you, right? He's going to quicken, give life to your mortal body. Amen? Now, this is not referring to the rapture. This is not referring to us having a glorified body. Because here, the making alive or giving life is to giving life to our mortal body. Do you see the word mortal there? So in other words, it's not referring to our glorified body. In fact, all of us we are looking forward for Jesus. We're going to have a glorified body when Jesus comes again, right? But there's a transformation. It's a transformation because when Jesus comes again for us, our bodies will be transformed like unto His glorious body. Notice, it's not the mortal body being given life, like this verse tells us. No, it is the mortal body no longer mortal. Amen. Becoming immortal, being transformed into a glorified body. So this verse is not referring to the rapture. Amen. When we receive our glorified bodies, but this is referring to your life right now. In your body right now, you can receive life from the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Amen. How does that work? Now back to my chart again on the spirit, soul, body. So what's happening right now? What do you have in your spirit? Righteousness. Can you see that? The Bible says your spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, what you want is that you want the life in that spirit because you are righteous. You want that life to touch your soul, to permeate your soul. You want it not just to be contained in your spirit, but to come out and touch your soul. And then after that, touch your body. That results in healing, health, wholeness. Amen. Renewal of youth and strength. Hallelujah. But notice it all starts with your spirit. Your spirit is born again. Your spirit is righteous. And God wants you to be conscious. Now, where are you conscious? You're conscious in your spirit, right? So exercise that, being conscious that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And you do that by confessing, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. So the more you confess it, come to the place where you even feel it in your emotions. Amen. Because your emotion is your soul realm. Now you want that life. That life is already in you. That Zoe life, that life from God is in you. If that life can touch your depression, that's the end of your depression. If that life can touch your sickness in your body, amen, it will heal your body. Praise the Lord. So that life needs to come out from our spirit and into our bodies. But the problem is what? It says the spirit is life because of righteousness and we are not righteous conscious. So as long your soul realm, your mind, back to the verse 6 again, to set the mind on the flesh is death. Notice that. But to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. So your soul realm is the deciding factor. Are you going to focus on the fact that your spirit is now, you are a, now I'm illustrating like I'm the soul, okay? The soul decides to set yourself focus on the flesh or to focus on the spirit. Your spirit, my friend, is life because why? It's righteous. Amen. Because of righteousness. Now, the Bible says, get your mind to focus on that. Listen to teachings on it. Amen. Renew your mind to who you really are. And then if you set your mind on the spirit, it's life and it's peace. Amen. To your soulish realm. You're going to feel it even in your mind, in your emotions. Hallelujah. It's going to affect your will. Praise the Lord. So that depression, where is it? Where is it found? It's in your soul, in your mind. Amen. Sickness is found in your body, but the life and peace can touch that depression and remove it and flood your emotions. Amen. Flood your soulish realm with life and peace. Hallelujah. So where's the point that there's a break? It's because we are not conscious. We are righteous. Because that life is in that righteousness. So the more you're conscious of it, you're setting your mind on the spirit. Guess what? The life comes out and touches your mind. And then when your mind is touched, it goes further and touches your body. That's when you are healed. Hallelujah! Hey, I preach myself happy. Amen? So God wants that righteousness, that life from that righteousness. That's who you are in Christ. God wants you to be conscious of it so that it permeates your soul, your emotions. Amen. You know, I'm starting to tell people even that, confess it until you feel it. You're already righteous. Whether you feel it or you don't feel it, once you're born again, you are born righteous. In God's eyes, you are righteous. Amen. That's the crux of the gospel, righteousness by faith. Amen. So you're already righteous. Whether you feel it, you don't feel it, you're still righteous. But when you feel it, notice the emotions. When you start feeling it, it's just one step away from your body. Amen. So the moment you allow that righteousness, consciousness to come into your soulish realm, where you meditate on it, where you start feeling, even the feeling of righteous. Well, Pastor Prince, how do you explain the feeling of righteous? You know, I felt that a number of times, many times, in fact, in my life. Even last night, as I'm meditating on that, I start feeling that again. You know, to feel that is life. I want to describe it, but it transcends, you know, my expression was just, it was just beggar my expression, because it is like a sense of authority, a sense of newness, a sense of that you are in company with God. You feel like, you know, you have no fear of the future. You feel like when you pray, God hears you. And many a times you take authority, not just praying all the time. You feel a flow. It's natural to take authority. Whereas when you're not righteousness conscious, amen, you fear taking authority, right? So when you pray now, you pray instead of a servile spirit of bondage, you pray in the spirit of sonship. Now that's how I'm trying, you know, but again, these expressions cannot describe. You need to experience that yourself. Confess it until you feel it. Amen. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Let it permeate your soul. Let it permeate your mind, your body. And then it's just one step from the soul to the body. When your soul experiences it, amen, your body experiences wholeness, life, and peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Man, I really preach myself happy. Thank you, Lord. One more testimony before we close. Amen. This is going to bless you. In case you have friends that are going through the same struggle, listen to this testimony. There's hope. You know, sin does not have the final say. Righteousness, God's righteousness does. Amen. This lady says, I was involved in an adulterous relationship for 5 years. I was born again and I knew it was wrong. Yet I couldn't get out of it. I was trapped in the relationship physically, emotionally, and mentally. The more I tried to get out of it, the more I got entangled in it. I even became pregnant and got an abortion out of fear. The guilt and condemnation I felt took away my peace. Then one of my friends sent me a video of one of Pastor Prince's sermons. It was a short clip, but it spoke volumes to me. I started looking up more of his teachings. At times, it sounded too good to be true, but Pastor Prince always backed up his statements with scriptures, so I was assured they were based on the Word of God. I started confessing that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. More than once, I heard pastors say that a true believer is not happy to stay in sin, and how only grace can get us out of the dominion of sin. He was describing my struggle. I would break up with this man a number of times, but would always end up going back to him. Then one day, I heard Pastor Prince sharing about how we can pray to God to help us end bad relationships. When I heard this, I prayed the same thing. I told God, Lord, I cannot break this relationship. You break it for me. Meanwhile, I kept listening to Pastor Prince's sermons to build up my faith and to be free from the guilt and condemnation I was going through. I learned about God's forgiveness and the Father's love for me. Every time Pastor Prince spoke about adultery, something would stir within me. It didn't happen immediately, but one day we had a very ugly fight and our relationship ended. I have been set free from that relationship since then and no longer feel guilt and condemnation. Thank you, Pastor Prince, for preaching Jesus in such a beautiful way. I'm enjoying all the blessings of the righteous one. All glory and honor to God alone. Amen. Indeed, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So my friend, it's vital we confess, just like Isaiah saw you confessing. Amen. Surely in the Lord, I have righteousness. In other words, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. And the Bible says that all those who are incensed against you will be ashamed. All those who are angry with you, they'll be put to shame. And the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. So one of the devices of the enemy is always to bring in condemnation. Every time you do something wrong, he will heap guilt and condemnation on you. The last thing he wants to hear you say is to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You got an addiction to porn. The last thing he wants you to say is to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ in the midst of your sin. You know, friend, we are taught Christianity is a great confession. Not confession of sin. It involves confession of sin, but the great confession there is not referring to the confession of sin. It's confessing. For example, in Hebrews 3, it says, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession. What confession is that? Go on. Next chapter, chapter 4, it says, let us hold fast the confession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest passing through the heavens, let us hold fast our confession. Now, you don't hold fast to a confession of sin. You say it, and that's it. Right? But what is this holding fast confession? Go on. Hebrews 10, it tells us, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. King James says, our faith without wavering. Amen. So we confess, I am the righteousness of God in Christ without wavering. Amen. Keep on confessing until you feel it. Amen. Until you enjoy it, even in your emotional realm. Amen. And it won't make you proud because it's a gift. You are made the righteousness of God in Christ. It's not something that you made yourself. You're not a self-made righteous man. Amen. Which is a problem. With the grace of the problem against grace is always self-righteousness. It's the mother of all sins. Long before Israel produced the golden calf at the foot of Mount Sinai, Israel said, all that God commands us, we can do it. That's self-righteousness. Amen. If you know the purity and holiness of the law, you'll never say that. Amen. We cannot keep the law, outwardly and inwardly especially. Amen. But thanks be to God, a righteousness apart from the law has been revealed and been proclaimed by the law and the prophets, the righteousness which is a gift. If you receive that, amen, you confess that and you believe that, friend, you're born again. Amen. You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, as your righteousness. You are safe, and then you are created in righteousness. Being safe means you are recreated. Amen. Once upon a time, you were born a sinner. Now you are born again. You are a righteous man. Amen. Outwardly, you still look the same. Amen. Your body is not changed, but it's in the process of changing. Amen. And there's a salvation that will touch your body as well. But your spirit man is totally transformed. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. And then God wants you to renew your, which part? Your soul, your mind, that realm. God wants you to renew to what has happened to you in the spirit. Amen. That your entire person, your entire being, spirit, soul, and body, fully sanctified. Amen. Being made blameless, made whole, spirit, soul, and body. That's God's desire for you. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus and living for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I see someone being healed right now. And I see your neck, actually, I don't know, is it a nerve or something like that, but you pull your neck and then you find yourself, when you move your neck, it gives you a lot of pain. I see you've been to the doctor, he gives you some prescription medicine and things like that, but it's still not helping you, especially when you sleep at night. Right now, you're feeling a warmth going through that area, and God is healing you, my friend. Be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Receive your healing right now. I see you well. Amen. Move that neck. Yeah, move around. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. To God be all the glory and the praise. Hallelujah. I see another person. Many a times this past week, for the past few days, you've been clutching your your heart area, because you've been feeling pain there and also shortness of breath. I do not know whether you have a previous case of a heart condition, but right now you've been very concerned about that. And right now also you're feeling the warmth of God going to this area, into your heart, into this area right now. And friend, I want you to clutch again your this area in the name of Jesus and say, the law, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed me from the law of sin and death. There it is. Complete healing. Amen. Go check it out with a doctor. Amen. Do your ECG or whatever you need. But friend, you are now healed. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's someone with a back condition. Let me describe it. It's right at your back here. All right. Somewhere in the lower back here. And then I see like it affects your leg as well. Sometimes the pain will shoot down, right? Your buttock area here all the way to your thigh. And there's a sharp pain. Sometimes it doesn't happen all the time, but sharp pain. But there's a constant nagging pain here in your back. And God is healing you right now. You're feeling warm and like fire going through your leg up and down. So right now, I just want you to move your foot up and down, your leg up and down, right? Move your leg up and down. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Twist your foot around. Amen. So that you just affect that area right now in Jesus' name, because healing is released. Whatever causes pain just before in a certain movement, do it right now and see what the Lord has done. You are healed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. To God be all the glory and the praise. I hear the word pulmonary valve. I hear the word like something like a valve that is not working right. And the doctors have told you something along these terms, and God is healing you, whoever it is right now. Receive that healing. Receive that miracle in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yes, rheumatoid arthritis being healed. Amen. Receive that healing right now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I see a young person, and you yourself were shocked when the doctors told you that you have lupus. And right now, in the name of Jesus, you're feeling like fire, the power of God coming right from onto your head down to the soles of your feet. Friend, you are healed of lupus in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Healing is coming to people in all kinds of areas. And I just want you to right now receive it. Just say, Lord Jesus, I receive healing for my condition. I receive your healing right now in Jesus' name. You see, this is where the devil tried to short circuit you in times past to make you feel like you don't deserve it. Remember what you did? And this is where you need to be conscious, even in your mental realm, in your emotional realm, that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. So when you say it right now, say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ, and I receive my healing full and free from my Lord Jesus in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If you never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, my friend, why don't you do so right now? He loves you. In fact, you heard a good dose of the gospel just now, the good news. This is the good news. Amen. The good news is that God justifies you not based on what you have done, but based on what Christ has done. Amen. And all your sins are put away. Amen. They've all been efficaciously put away by the blood of Jesus, that one sacrifice for sins forever. So pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins. I thank you that when I was declared righteous by God, God raised you from the dead. I thank you. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior, now and forever. Father God, I thank you. You have made me the righteousness of God in Christ. Thank you that all the blessings of the righteous are now mine. Thank you, Father God, that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me from every sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'm a new creation. I'm born again and born righteous. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, you are now a child of God. Amen. All things in your life are passed away. All things have become new. And still, it's a journey for your soul realm, like what you learned just now, as well as your body. But your spirit is instantly safe, born again, no more the old man, no more the old sinful nature. But your mind is still the same. Your soulish realm is still the same. Your body is the same. But the spirit is going to affect your soul and your body. Amen. Keep on hearing. And one of the ways you renew your mind is keep on hearing to sermons like this. Amen. Keep on hearing. Get your friends to hear as well. Praise the Lord. And share the good news with one and all. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet, church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Never take this time for granted, where I pronounce the blessings, especially our protection, for you and your families throughout this week. And that's how God told Aaron, the high priest, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, pronounce this blessing over them, and I will bless them. This coming week, the Lord bless you and your families richly, plentifully, abundantly, because it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, and not your efforts, not your labor. The Lord make His face to shine on you and upon your loved ones and be favorable to you. Open doors of favor throughout this week to you and your loved ones. May you find yourself by the grace of God at the right place, at the right time, always. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and your families and grant to you and your loved ones His wonderful shalom, peace, wholeness, and well-being. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. Continue confessing, my friend, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. Until next week.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
Want to experience meaningful change in your life? Today, get Joseph's 4-CD album, True Transformation God's Way, as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry. Call now and you will also receive a bonus 2022 wall calendar. Find out how true change in your life comes effortlessly when you look to Jesus and all that He has done for you on the cross.
The amazing thing is this: people don't realize transformation is not their effort. But when you see Jesus as He really is, you become like Him.
And for a specific gift, you will receive the Grace to Grace package, which includes a specially curated resource kit just for you. Dive deeper into the life-changing truths about the power of right believing and experience freedom from every guilt and fear.
Obedience to the faith means right believing. To the faith. Believe right and you will live right.
Don't miss out on these powerful resources. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit us at josephprince.org.
It is on my heart today to pray for those of you who are facing financial challenges. Maybe you are struggling to support your family. Maybe you are in debt and you can't see your way out. I want to pray for supernatural cancellation of debt for you right now and for you to experience God's provision. Would you lift your hands as I pray for you now? Father, I thank You for everyone receiving this prayer right now. And I thank You, Father, that You love them. You know where they are at financially. You know those who are in debt and those who have made mistakes in the past and overextended themselves. Father, I'm asking You in Jesus' name to supernaturally cancel their debts by Your grace. Grant them their financial breakthrough and give them the wisdom to steward their finances. Father, be their supply during this time and bless them to be a blessing to others. Cause them to have more than enough to be able to be a channel of blessing to many and to establish Your kingdom, Father, on earth, in Jesus' name. Now say, Father, I receive this breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you to keep tuning in to our broadcasts and can watch our program online at josephprince.tv. It is a great platform to consume the gospel and allow the Lord to take you from lack to abundant supply in every area. And with josephprince.tv, you can watch our broadcasts on all your devices 24/7. Sign up for an account today, and we'll send you an encouraging teaching resource as my gift to you. God bless you.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501(c)(3) nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.